thing is, like, I usually think of rumble strips as rumble strips.
Where the fuck are they putting them?
I usually think of those as sort of like major highway. Right.
Well, I'm going to try and level us while we're doing this pre-talk. Keep going.
Like, you kind of need a wide road to put those in. Like, not just like a basic rural road. You don't put those on a basic rural road. You know?
So they got them. These are the rumble strips on either side. So turtles in the middle, turtles on the side, right?
Rumble strip down the middle, one on either side.
Okay, yeah.
So you got to really drive, like, really right in the middle.
Well, but so what they're trying to do is get people to stop cutting all the corners.
Yeah, I think they're trying to... I think they're actually more to get people from driving too fast.
Yeah.
You know, effectively what you're saying.
I'm going to leave it right here. We're all running pretty hot. We'll come back.
I mean, because, like, on that road, like, there's a big problem with
people. Well, you know
people,
what they just did?
You know,
is they saved your picket fence.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do literally have a picket fence.
I don't have one.
Well, yeah, you got the board and the... Well, no, it's not a picket fence. What are they called? I don't know. You got that fucking whitewash ranch fencey thingy.
Yeah.
And it just saved that. Because you're on a bad corner. They're heading to the fucking store just up the road to get beer anyway.
No, it's actually people coming into town.
Yeah.
It's people driving towards Springfield that are flying.
Yeah.
Coming back from drinking at the shooting range.
No, I don't know where the hell they're coming from.
It's the people that live out in BFE always think that they know the roads well enough that they can do it so fast.
That's
it's
what
the
it
guys
is.
That well, it's the people that come out from that go there from the city.
Yeah, right.
We do the speed limit.
Well, no. So this happened to me this weekend. I was driving down to the ranch, and I'm the city kid going to the country place, right? And I'm behind this person that's doing like 40 miles an hour. I'm like, this is a 55. Get out the way, right? And it eventually comes. They come across having a like a state sale, yard sale kind of sign, and they turn in. So they were clearly looking like Google Maps or something the whole time. But you don't know how aggravated I was. I don't even live there. I just go there frequently enough to go, we really, really, this is a 45 mile an hour curve. Can we please do 45 miles an hour?
Is it daytime?
Oh, totes.
Yeah. See, that's the thing, is, like, the idiots who, like, speed on the road in front of my house, like, they do it at night, and they're just totally moronic, because it's like, I don't care how great a driver you are, and how great your car is, and how long you've been living here.
How many of them are Hondas with exhaust trumpets on them?
It's really more like pickups and motorcycles.
Yeah.
And they just go flying, and it's just like...
Which are the two things that are going to get screwed up the most.
Yeah. Yeah, and
whether
it's
it be
like,
the driver or the vehicle.
Yeah, either way, you're not surrounded by much, buddy.
Somehow, I guess they think they have ESP as to when a deer's going to be on the road. I don't know, because, I mean, you've driven out to my house. It's like, you could have, like, a meal driving out to my house.
And on my way in, and I think about that, because it's legal to pick up roadkill now.
Yeah.
I'm like, is it worth it? Like, all right, so how much is a bumper?
You know that we're never going to eat dinner with you again, right?
Well, I drive down, I saw two spikes, and they were young spikes, like single spikes, walking down the road. On the way home, I saw a mom and a clearly baby. So, like, I could take out one of the two spikes, right? That's kind of legal, and it's legal.
No, the spike would take you out.
Well, my bumper, and I'd probably need a new grill. But,
and a core support, and a radiator.
Yeah. That's why I haven't done
it. So what's
yet.
Your truck
That's
worth?
Why I don't have that kind of insurance. It don't matter.
Right?
Well,
they'll cut you a check for $1,500 and say, we're done.
I've realized I've probably...
Did you just get that much worth of meat?
I've probably been living in the country too long. I think I've got to move.
You can't move any further out into the country.
No, I think I got to move back to New York or something.
Between Hippie Dome and Republican Dome, you're right on your line where you like to be.
Yeah, but like I was sitting there and I hear this like chewing going on, and I'm like, "What the hell is that munching?" And I was like, "Oh shit, I left the cat food out." And I look out there and there's like a little baby possum, and I was like, "Oh man, it's so cute."
Let's shoot it in the face.
And it's just like, yeah, when you start thinking possums are cute animals, you might have been in the country.
Well, there's that one time like we found that
in band camp.
Well, no. There's that one time in my garage, close to a Bandcamp story, not far, that I had a bucket full of, like, rubble that was... It was a garbage can, a big 50-gallon garbage can. I was just filling it full of rubble to get out of the garage. And I came out there once, and there was a whole bunch of baby possums living in that garbage can some of which had all their limbs, because I don't know if you know this about possums, but if they start starving and can't move, they'll eat each other. And the best thing I could do was, like, help them go quickly into this good night and put them in the compost pile underground or something. I didn't know what to do.
Wait, so you buried them alive?
No. I put them quickly in their good night. I got out a thing that wouldn't make my neighbors very loud, or it wouldn't make my neighbors angry because it wasn't very loud, and I did it as expediently and humanely as I could. That does not mean I picked up a possum by his tail and cut its throat, because fuck no, you've seen their claws and teeth. I didn't do that. But it wasn't enough to make any holes in the bottom of a plastic garbage can either, so there's that. On that note, I think, ladies and gentlemen,
we are seriously ruined heroes.
Yeah. AKA just ruined heroes. We are a weekly and free and self-produced podcast wherein the three of us irreverently discuss topics of societal renown. I, Tyler, study like a guy counting dots. John?
I just want to build a better world.
And Rupert?
Feeling refreshed. I deleted the Facebook app from my phone. And you can too.
You're shitting me.
Nope. Took it off my phone. Thinking about quitting the whole kit and booboo. Caboodle. Kamoomoodle.
I like kit and booboo.
Quitting the whole goddamn thing. But took it off my damn phone. Woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Had a little voice telling me.
That means no more fun for the Ruined Heroes folks. I don't know that that's a good thing to announce on a podcast.
Ooh.
They want your 5 in the morning. Like, you should run the Twitter, because you do it like Trump, and it would be way better.
Jesus
so
Christ,
anyhow, speaking
if you
of that,
ran... Oh, my God.
Speaking
I can
of that,
Twitter. I can, I can do that.
You want the shitter doing Twitter? Is exactly what we need. If you'd like to interact with us, we are ruinedheroespod@gmail.com, all lowercase, no spaces, as well as on Facebook and the shitter, I mean Twitter. If you would like to donate towards the cost of the podcast, you can subscribe at patreon.com/ruinedheroes. It is a monthly subscription thing that gets you extra content for like $1 a month. And you may also make a one-off donation through PayPal, which we all kind of trust. Elon Musk certainly does. There are links to both, as well as episode downloads on our website, ruinedheroes.com.
He trusts it because he owns it.
I think they probably got the joke, but just in case. Thank you to those of you who do give to us. It does mean the world to us. It's pretty fucking cool.
How did Elon Musk actually wind up moving here?
Money.
Well, money.
When did he move
Bill
here?
Bill Gates and Phil Knight and Jobs lived in Northern California. And, like, they just, it's lots of property in a beautiful place for a reasonable price. And you're hung out with people who aren't going to tell you no, because, you know. That's the climate around these parts.
Yeah, well, the thing about this place is if you throw enough money around, you get what you want in Oregon. Phil Knight's a perfect example.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't mean here. I just meant in this country. Does Elon Musk live in Oregon?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I think he has a place in Oregon.
No, I mean, what I'm getting at is, like, he's from South Africa originally.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's on the list. Maybe we should do him.
How did he just like? Sorry, he looks Russian. He's from South Africa.
He does look Russian.
He's got this like weird
he's
Russian.
He's got that creepy pasty.
The pasty kind of thin eyes. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, so
he's an alien.
Yeah, what?
He's a little bit of an
he's
alien.
Not quite a gray, but he's close.
If him and James Carville had
no,
a baby,
really, he's
that
an alien,
ugly
well,
ass baby.
You know, like he's got the, it, grasp
the truest
on the
sense of the term,
thing, right? So.
And just him and James Carville having a love child. That'd be like one weird looking kid.
Okay, so
Juliet
intros. A
no,
1955
no.
piece fits perfectly with a piece you buy today.
A 1955 piece fits perfectly with a piece you buy today?
Uh-huh.
Are we talking about IKEA?
Nope.
Oh, so close, though.
Very close. Very
like
close.
Geographically
very close.
And yeah. It is, alright, so I wrote this down as the second one because you actually took Latin.
Okay.
After naming the company's name was found out to be Latin for I put together.
So, Lego?
Yes, yep. Siri Lego.
Okay. I kind of wish, like...
My third one was the most painful thing to step on, because I figured you'd nail it at that point.
Well, then, no,
like, you have kids. Yeah. One of them's going into engineering school. There were Legos.
Yeah, that was pretty painful.
You had Legos, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anybody here at this table that didn't own Legos?
Well, I wrote down because I mentioned, like, they came to the States in 1973. My first set was 74. My parents were house hunting. I was born in 73. And they were like, how are we going to keep them occupied in a car while we're looking for a country home? So they bought my first Lego. I was 1.5. Legos, yeah, my entire life.
You go anything from those big Duplo blocks to little tiny Legos. I mean, they have... They're intrinsic to society. You from the moment you can pick something up, they're going to get you to be able to put two things together.
Right.
That's it. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if you have destructions. You can still stick things and they make it... They build stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, the name is a well-renowned combination of two Danish words, leg and godt, G-O-D-T, meaning play well. It is their mission statement, since the company we know came into being, anyhow. Later, it was found that the word Lego meant the Latin I put together. Currently, they create enough bricks for every person on the planet to have 86 bricks. Every single person on the planet can have a kit of almost 100 bricks.
So there's as many Legos in the world as there are guns in the United States.
Yeah, very close.
You can have as many Legos as you can have guns in this country.
I can't do the math for bullets. But roughly 100 Legos per person on the planet.
Well, hey, did you hear about that whole, like...
That's what, 7.7 billion times 100.
Did you hear about the whole 3D gun thing? How we're going to have Lego guns?
Yeah,
you can make your own guns at
I'm
home?
No, that's...
I want a Lego gun.
You can extra-sode that if you want.
You're just not going to bite, huh?
No, I'm not.
I'm serving it up. It's piping hot.
I know you're serving the piping hot.
Piping hot.
It's
you tried the rest.
Shit sandwich. Have some rat fucking taste of it.
It doesn't matter if you put it on artisanal bread. Yeah. It's still a shit sandwich.
Yeah,
okay?
It's still a shit sandwich, man. Steaming or not, I don't care. That is not meatballs.
Okay, I'm just saying. You're going to be laughing out of the other side of your mouth when I Photoshop a cannon. It's going to be fucking great.
If you Photoshop a cannon, throw that shit on
it's
our
gonna,
Facebook
No, it's
going to
be like
page.
Real Photoshop.
Well, his idea of a cannon and your idea of a cannon may be two completely different things.
You go into Photoshop, you draw a cannon,
so
and
so, in the
out.
Canonical tellings of this story, 1916, Billund, Denmark. A man named Ole Kirk Christensen. Mm-hmm. Now, I had this because the Lego site says Christensen with a K. Every other thing on the internet says Christian with a C-H.
Yep.
But it's the Lego site that calls it with a K, so that's the only reason I'm going with it.
They're just looking all fancy spancy.
I'm just putting that out there.
It is correct. It's we westernize it to be able to pronounce it that way.
Yeah, whatever it is. Like, I know you can't read this like I do, but I'm from here on out, I'm pretending it, I'm going to say it as Christensen with a K.
They can't actually see the letters on the radio.
What you're talking about is
I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
They can't actually see the radio.
Yeah, there's no Kringle involved in this. It's Christian, like Christ.
Yeah, like Mein Kampf.
Yeah. So,
Jesus
anyhow.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Only
Jesus, you're just really on one.
Only Kirk Christensen, read that with a CH, who is a skilled craftsman, opens a business building all manner of things from ladders to ironing boards and a few toys, wooden toys.
And what was the motto that he had in that factory?
Dude, seriously. 1924, he is set for growth, but soon his son, who is 12, because he starts working for the company at 12 years old, sets fire accidentally to a pile of wood chips. The fire consumes the family business and the family home. So, yeah, Dad, thanks for the job at 12. Now, it is, you know, early 1900s. Being employed at 12 is not that unique.
How many people put their kid to work at 12?
Well, all of them.
I did.
Damn Skippy. We do it right. To this day. Let's go split wood. Go chop down blackberries.
Fuck you. Clean the bathroom and do your own laundry. Like, go to work. Something.
Well, so he literally, no, that's learning how to just maintain.
That's learning how to adult.
He told this kid, iron my shirt.
I don't know. No.
I didn't know you were Chinese.
I will still take dad iron my shirt over dad saying, will you iron my shirt? Because one of us is buying the shirts, and I know how many iron.
No, but they made ironing boards there. They made ironing boards there.
Yeah, they did make ironing boards.
So
anyway, So the son, Kirk, they all have the middle name Kirk. The sun burns down the fucking building and the home.
No business. Dr. Lieber!
Right?
De Lieber. The ironing board machine is kaput!
So Christensen, Ole, the older one, Christensen, decides to rebuild, only larger, and in a good decision-making skills, moves the family home away from the factory. So that, like, you only lose one or the other.
Pretty good plan. Yeah.
That's a good plan.
Want yourself a little fire break there.
Right.
Keep things separate.
And he's barely getting by. In 1932, his wife dies, and he establishes an interest in toy building. So, like, wife dies, and I'm going to start building toys instead of ladders and ironing boards. Yeah. Maybe a little Peter Pan-ish is what I'm looking at your face and guessing.
There's just something really weird, like, I'm going to have a home-based business.
Where I make toys.
We're making ladders and ironing boards. I mean, I can sort of see it, where it's like you're a carpenter, and you want to work out of your house, so you're trying to make something simple that everybody needs, so an ironing board.
And a ladder.
A ladder, and obviously they had no product liability laws back then.
Right.
So he's just getting some 2x4s and a drill bit and stuff.
Yeah, and just like put a long thing through here and attach this thing and go.
But it's like
at that point in time they were dowels.
Yeah.
Okay, true.
But like the whole thing of like the wife dying and then it's like, hey, let's like reinvent this whole thing. It's sort of like, you know.
Well, I mean, he was building a few toys up until this point, but this is really when he like, wife's dead, I'm gonna build toys.
Have we hit the duck yet?
What year is this?
Cutting right
what year
the
is
duck.
This?
1934.
Ah, okay.
Mm. Well, the last fact, when his wife dies, was 1932.
So bad things are happening all the way
around. Yeah, his wife dies, and he starts to make toys. He almost goes bankrupt and is bailed out by his siblings. He had to beg money from his siblings, the inheritance kind of stuff. As part of the deal, they try and get him to stop making toys, but he's like, nah, fuck you, I'm making toys anyway. And there are times that this actually kind of gets him by. But his heart is clearly in the toys. He's into it. He's going to make toys. So 1934, he names the company Lego. In essence, declaring his dedication to the manufacture of toys and his move away from more quote-unquote practical things. No more ladders and ironing boards.
Right.
Fuck it, we're making toys. So 1935, they released their first really big hit toys called It's a Wooden Duck.
Yep.
I told you we're getting there. They also released a thing called Kirk's Sand Game. It was kind of a construction toy, sandbox.
Okay,
thing.
To give you an idea about this
Kirk's
wooden
sand
yeah,
game.
Yeah, not very, not well, but they did name
wow.
it. They did name well, it in English.
But the wooden duck still holds today. It's that thing that you drag on the ground.
Yeah.
And the head, it has an egg-shaped egg leg.
Yeah. Well, and the head will move up and down. Yeah. And, I mean, it still holds true to this day. And we're almost 100 years later, so...
But that's an older toy than that.
I actually had one of those. It was a Basset Hound, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, the whole thing has been there, and he was onto something.
Well,
I mean,
they moved on to the Fisher-Price lawnmower thing, with the bubble bopper thing that happened.
That thing was so cool.
It's the same concept.
I remember the first time I saw that. I was like, that was so cool.
Well, the thing is that, you know, when you'd see Dad mowing the lawn...
cheesy fucking 60s, 70s plastic in a minute.
Yeah, but I had no experience with the lawnmower.
Yeah, but you'd see Dad mowing the lawn and the kid mowing the lawn next to it.
I thought it was supposed to be a popcorn machine. It was so big you had to have it on wheels and stuff. And I was like,
and it's just like Wonder Bread colored balls.
That's what I thought it was. Everywhere. I didn't know it was supposed to be a lawnmower.
Show me every father in the world that would ever... Show me any father that would mow the lawn at the same rate that that thing would. Just to keep up next to his kid.
Uh-huh.
It didn't matter if that thing was 20 square feet. That would be a 2-hour fucking project.
My
dad, no dad in the world is going to do
that. My dad once built a granite... raw granite stone fireplace, which is a lot of work. And what he'd do is I'd carry in a little rock, and when he was going out, he'd carry out three little rocks. And I carry in a little rock, and eventually he'd carry out the three little rocks. And I just, like, felt like I was participating. Eventually, he needed one little rock to fill the space, but, like, I was three. I'm not carrying a bit, but I'm just, like, keeping up with Dad, just like with the Popcorn Popper Fisher-Price toy. So, anyway.
I'm curious about this bag of sand toy. It's genius.
It is, you know, it may have been the beginning of fucking D&D. Who knows? We did talk about sandbox toys.
I mean, I had it. That was, like, sort of one of the first things I tried selling was, like, Rupert Hughes's bag of broken bottles and beer cans. Sort of a construction toy. Didn't work too well.
You sold to bums?
Yeah. It's like,
so, here, I'll tell you what. Why don't you give me a buck and I'll give you this bag of cans?
I did have this one good construction toy that was called, like, Rupert's Hand It to Your Girlfriend, Shake Out the Cigarette Butts beer can.
That's not a very good deconstruction toy.
No, it worked really well.
I don't think so.
You just set them up, and they shake them all out, 5 cents a piece.
So, that's called slave labor.
It was around
this
time
that
God...
we'll touch about
God,
your
Gottfried, G-O-D-T-F-R-E-D.
Gottfried.
Okay. Kirk Christensen. Like I said, all their fucking middle names are Kirk. So, this guy actually went by Kirk. It was the son of Oli, and he, at this time, was around 12 and actually started working. There's a picture of him and his grandfather, or and his father, Oli, mm-hmm. and the younger person who, up until just recent, well, right, the change hasn't happened yet, spoilers. The younger son, whose name I don't, but it's got, like, letters and an uh sound and shit. Anyhow, I'll get there in the notes. There's a picture of the three of them. That is a Facebook hint. So, well, John, seriously, dude. His name is...
Walton.
Gjeld. Why don't... K-G-E-L-D. Or K-J-E-L-D.
I can look it up. It's Gjeld. Okay.
Gjeld. So,
Jesus
anyway.
Fucking Christ.
Kirk becomes prominent. I mean, like, he's only 12, but by 1937, he's designing and building models. He's mm-hmm. only 17 years old, but his influence is showing in the Lego toy making dramatically. And, like, my models are, like, pieces. Like, here's a bunch of wooden pieces with some destructions. Put them together. They're still heavily a wood manufacturer.
Yep.
But they, you know, they move more toward the wooden duck and away from ironboard ladders. Chutes and ladders, shall we call it that?
Shits and giggles.
They move more towards shits and giggles than chutes and ladders, yes. By 1942, the factory in Germany is in German-occupied Denmark. And because, you know, there may have been a little bit of bombing going on at that point in time in that area of the planet. Oh, the factory burns down again to the ground. Luckily, this time not attached to the family household. Right?
So we can live.
Yeah. Sort of a problem with the wood-based business.
We're getting there. We're getting
it's
there.
A little bit of a problem.
They figure that out eventually. Not yet.
Yeah.
Somehow during the war, they were able to have established themselves as a company that was big enough that by the end of the war, they were back at work. And along comes 1946. Due to so many resources...
Wait, what were they making during the war?
Wooden toys still.
Yeah.
They weren't one of these companies that was, like, conscripted into
making
wooden rifle stocks or something like that.
Yeah, they made rifle stocks, nothing. They continued making...
They just straight up made toys.
I looked, I was like, because of course it's...
That's usually the way it goes.
It's German-occupied Europe. Of course they're building fucking wood stocks. No, they kept making wooden toys.
Huh.
Spoiler alert, if you want two really good docs, you can find them on Netflix right now, The Toys That Made Us and The Lego
that's
House.
That's the one that I sent you three topics from that I didn't realize.
Exactly.
Back on.
Yeah.
The toys that made us.
One of the foundations behind Lego was that they didn't want anything warfare oriented with them.
Right.
Ever. So
that
they
does change. Come around.
It does. But they didn't want warfare associated. And because of that
they started making ladders.
How is that a
That's more firemen than
sure.
war, motherfucker.
Siege warfare. Okay, great. Go ahead.
Well, you're only sitting there with all those stupid castles with those tall walls. They didn't have those tall walls because they had extra rocks flying around.
How tall are you?
Please.
How tall are you?
Tall enough, I need a ladder to siege the castle. I know back then I would have been considered.
But I do know that he doesn't need nearly as much of a fucking ladder.
He could change that motherfucking light bulb by standing on the ground.
Exactly.
I stand on this dangerous chair that I made, that he helped me.
So
rebuild.
We get footstools and little things like that.
So yeah, it's like a little.
It's always a moment of, am I going to die? And need.
And I'm sure that they created. I'm sure that they created ladders to actually put a thatched roof on a hut long before they did so to take out.
Right, but they had that was your like 8-foot ladder to thatch a roof. Like your 20-foot ladders, your assault ladders. You know what
ladder?
Those were for.
Does it have a black handle on the bottom?
It had a black handle. It was like a pistol grip.
You know what? If it's got a bump stock, you could shut
rails
up.
And a bump stock. Yeah,
mount
right?
Like two bayonets on the top of it.
You just bump the stock and it ratchets
you
up.
You didn't
have
to climb
ratchets.
It. You just stuck two bayonets on the top and just shoved it up at the people peeking over.
Trademark Ruin Heroes, motherfucker.
There you go. The siege ladder.
Siege ladder with a bump stock and an extra handle.
Hell yeah.
It holds 85 nothings.
I mean, we've all seen like World
sort of
War
like
Z.
Us.
Those zombies got over that wall in Israel.
We do hold 85 nothings. You're very here to that.
Salute. 85 nothings.
Shit. All right, so
because let's face it, everybody who got a Lego thing, the first thing you made was a gun when you had a Lego set.
Right.
Yeah, it's the first thing you made.
No,
well,
it isn't.
I mean,
no,
I
it isn't.
The car that the instructions came with. At the
you made what was
well,
on the box.
That's not true.
Oh, that's because you had like,
and
was,
then
you had
I
the
was,
dedicated Lego.
Well, no, no, no.
Yeah,
no.
I was small change and a half when I got my first one, so I probably just made whatever fit.
I had the generic.
That's what I had too.
Thing
like the hit 73, and by 74.5, I had a set. They were just like blocks in random colors.
I was first given like the little motorcycle, and then they gave us.
I didn't have that when I was a kid.
No,
right.
Yeah. That it was almost the 80s, but that shit really.
Yeah, they
but then
yeah. Box.
They gave
of
you
blocks.
The box of stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then you're like, and then the flat ones came out too.
But they hadn't even done this yet.
Oh,
I mean, like they haven't even built a Lego yet in this timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're still burning down buildings with wood toys.
We're still, yeah, I get it. We're still in World War II.
Okay, so let's move on.
Stupid ladder.
1946.
Fucking Hitler.
Due to many resources being tapped for post-war rebuilding, this is the wood that they would be using for their toys that is now being used for building stocks and is now on back order because you can't get it because we built war stocks.
Yeah, we got to make gun stocks and siege ladders. All
right, so they start thinking about other plans, and they find this thing called a plastic injection molding machine, right? And so it's 46. It's not legal in Denmark to use one of these yet because it's like witchery. They have no idea.
What?
Right? But
what are you talking about? It is not legal
to
use
a plastic injection molding system in Denmark. In
they have they have like their plastic machinish banning rule or
yes.
Something.
Yes,
that's a load of crap. I don't believe you. I
this
don't
is
believe
real.
You.
This is real.
Plastic injection was banned specifically.
Yes. No, it was not legalized specifically.
But then nobody
it was,
legalizes
it was not about
every machine
it was about
that comes
wasn't
along.
Legalized. It wasn't legal to
I
use.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Nobody legalizes
all
every
right,
machine
so back
that comes
to your 3D printing guns. That's not fucking legal. It's the same kind of progress. There's a progress that's happening.
What are you
that,
talking
about?
It's
that
totally
legal.
Legal.
No.
You can't use it.
What they've done here, instead of actually looking at it, the 3D printing press is a really good thing. A good example here. They said that we don't know what the hell it is. We don't legalize it because it didn't pass all of the governmental fucking regulations that are too...
Yeah, we don't know it's not going to kill people.
Justify production. Is it going to do all of the things that we need it to do? Is it going to be safe for everybody? It's not that it's illegal. It just isn't legal yet.
Yeah. Plastic molding was
it's non-legal.
Is this like
man.
A specific legislative domain of Denmark? Because I've never heard of this.
No,
this particular thing is Denmark-specific, but I imagine other countries throughout the planet went through similar things because it was a very new process that people didn't understand.
How much plastic did you see in the early, in the mid-30s?
You didn't get plastic until the 50s because you got Bakelite almost exclusively up till that.
Right, but I mean, what I'm saying is, like, if you want to engage in a new manufacturing process, that's on you. You can do that. There's nothing that, I don't know, you know, whatever. If
it wasn't illegal. It was just non-legal.
Right.
So that's a better way to put it.
So Lego buys this fucking plastic injection mold either way.
It's kind of like marijuana. Marijuana in the United States is legal, but it's illegal at the same time. Okay?
So they buy some. No, but I just am not going to believe that you're going to find every single industrial process through time has gone through a period of review and then stamp this is legal in Denmark.
Agree.
I don't believe
it's,
that.
It's a little curious thing.
I don't
Generally
believe that.
It works the other way around, where you're doing things and they deregulate things.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And
they
like,
ban
it
or something.
Yeah. And I agree.
I'm figure out how it's going to hurt.
This is kind of a backwards thing.
I think there's something. All right, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Time,
whatever.
You could not own or could not produce things through plastic injection molding in Denmark. Mm-hmm. But it's 1946. They buy the fucking thing anyhow.
Yep.
By 1947, their government approves the use of injection molding.
Yes.
And the Christensen family goes to fucking work. And they start building. By 1949, they release a thing called the Automatic Binding Brick. It is an English name, not a translation. Mm-hmm. They used it, some say it was to pay homage to the Allied forces. But basically, they used it because they want to kind of globalize their product, is what I looked at it as.
Yeah.
I mean, it made a good sense. Because you got the whole of Great Britain that's going to listen to it, and then the Americans, which we don't get there.
Well, they're sitting. Sitting in a.
We don't get there for another 20 years.
Look, let me tell you something. People in these cheese-eating countries are well aware that their language. Go to the Netherlands.
Chocolate eating.
Go to the
cheese and chocolate.
Go to the Netherlands. Try and learn Dutch. It is really hard because nobody will speak Dutch to you because they all know it's a cheese-eating language. You can't get very far. But by the 40s and 50s, they would be well acquainted with the fact that, like, we're a small country. Hey, a lot of people speak English over here. These guys just kicked some German ass. Let's, like, start talking English.
So, this automatic binding block is very similar to what we know today. It is styled after a British toy by Katie Kraft, who gave them permission to use a similar design. 1981, by the way, Lego bought Katie Kraft. So, that came around.
And throughout this entire time, though, it's pretty much been an unspoken mission that it's all about children and playing. And educational growing play.
It is. Yeah.
And it's been unspoken up and all throughout this time.
Well, and it's been studied nowadays to actually improve math skills.
Why did they buy this Kitty Craft thing?
Well, like, Kitty Craft was a...
Was this just a CYA
British company.
Move?
Yeah, I think it was straight up British.
This is like...
I may be incorrect there, but yeah, they were starting to falter and...
So this is like Harrison buying the rights to he's so fine?
Maybe. I don't know the circumstances.
My sweet lord, he's so fine.
I'm going to say sure. I don't know the
circumstances. So what I'm getting at is
a little reverence for me.
They weren't really that interested in Katie Kraft's product. They just were like,
no,
let's head off any lawsuit at the pass here, kind of thing.
And we can start using their factory for our work, kind of thing.
Yeah,
it was kind of
so
that.
So they started naming things in English and using English business model practices.
Somebody may have had some cocaine in them in 81. Who knows? 81 was an interesting point. So, but either back to 1952, however. 1952, Ole, the original builder of the company, dies. At this time, his son, Kirk, this is the Kirk, took over the company. And he was about to release the building block as a system of play, in quotes.
Yes, and
this
is where
kind of like the beginning thing. Like, they wanted to make it more than just building something. Like, they wanted to make... And there's pictures of him showing, like, this is the house.
Yeah.
This is the gas station. And this is the this. And, like, you can build a whole world in a dollhouse-like, gender non-discriminate world.
And the word system becomes very important throughout this entirety.
It's not a toy! It's a system of
it's
play!
It's a system!
Yeah.
Yes. This is when they started laying out plans. Like, releasing you a kit that was more meant to build one or five things.
What year is this?
We're 52.
Seriously?
Yep. 53, they actually take on the name Lego Bricks.
Yep.
From 55 to 57, design is solidified into the thing that we know now. Like, that's when they started moving from the old, just, like, locked together, so the ones we know with the tubes in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
There's a specific word for them that I found and then couldn't find again.
What they had to do to be able to get them, because originally what would happen is the wearer would...
Would stretch them, yeah.
Stretch them out, and they wouldn't stick together anymore. They wouldn't stay. So they had to come up with a patented process, whereas the underside of the Lego brick, of that 2x4 Lego brick... would stay to another 2x4, and or if it was a 1x1 or whatever, every one of them would stay there indefinitely, and it was a patented process, and they busted
and they
their heads over
it. Holes in the bottom, and they figured out just to make them the right size to make them the plugs go in there, so you can put a single in the middle. Like, they did a whole bunch of process at this point then that really changed them. This is also when the invention of ABS plastic started to come around.
Yep.
They, I may be a little early in that, but basically they moved from standard old style, it's going to fade and crack in the sun, to modern ABS plastics, which you can leave on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you which is
or
what...
step on.
That's the stuff that breaks our foot every time you step on it, but your kid still uses it 10 minutes later.
So, yeah. That's kind
of right. I mean, that's a real revolutionary period when the plastics were totally changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we totally started to understand the petroleum product.
And it was a really plastic, it was a really long drawn out process because nobody could understand it because I remember when I was a kid.
Well, it is kind of magical.
But when I was a kid, you could hand anybody any size of Lego block and say, "Break this." And they couldn't break it.
It was new.
But anything else made out of plastic in that same time period was known.
Smash this water
gun. If you left it in the sun, it would fall apart. Lego was the only people with real plastic, and it was the strangest thing that it worked like that.
Well, part of it is plastic, part of it is construction. Like, they built a lot of, they spent a lot of time working on this one model. And that's kind of cool about Legos, that they became monofocal.
Back then, any piece of plastic you had that was not Lego, you could have a solid bar that
you
was the size. You could break that.
Yeah.
But you could not break a Lego bar. It was this strange, weird plastic, and nobody could figure out why this plastic...
The only way a Lego bar was... a 2x4 Lego piece was coming apart...
It was frustrating to the consumer.
Was with a hacksaw.
Yeah.
Okay, that was it. You were cutting that thing with some other tool. That's the only way you're breaking it.
So, I got this little thing that we'll get to more later, but I'm going to throw one thing in right now. So, you guys know who James May is from Top Gear and Grand Tour, right? He was doing a different BBC TV show, and he built an entire home from Lego. Entire home. It's 23 feet tall, has two stories, the furniture, everything. It was built on a piece of land that needed to be reclaimed at some point in time, and nobody wanted to buy it, nobody wanted to move it. And so what they had to do to take it apart, because it's Lego, chainsaws. They just chainsawed that motherfucker apart.
Yeah.
So that's the level of how durable the grip is, especially once you apply a tiny amount of fucking super glue. It gets crazy. Although, apparently the ceiling is really leaked in that place, and the bed was horribly uncomfortable. But other than that...
Wow, so it's actually like the Frank Lloyd Wright Falling Water House.
Oh, fuck you, man. You know why the Frank Lloyd Wright Falling Water House is a problem? It's because they didn't actually follow his plans. Had they, the cantilevers were light enough to have supported, and they've since gone back and redesigned and done his cantilevers, and is working great.
That's right.
As opposed to the heavier ones earlier. Like, if they just listened to motherfucker in the first place...
Socialism works. He's just the wrong people have tried it.
Really?
I'll go there. So, for those in the studio audience, Tyler has a very impressive Frank Lloyd Wright Falling Water House made of Lego.
Of Legos.
That's actually sitting right in the middle of the table, and it's very apropos that he
did
that.
Not yet, but I could move it.
I was covering for you.
It's a nice feeling.
I'm just surprised that you didn't put it here.
So, 1958, they patented the stud and coupling system, which I wrote down because that's kind of a great name.
Stud and coupling system?
Yep.
The idea that, I went through 25 years in Greenwich Village, New York, and never saw a bar named that.
Stud and coupling?
What the hell is that?
That's exactly why I wrote that down.
Basically, it's patenting that center pillar hole thing that I was talking about. That helps secure the blocks, but like stud and coupling is so good, I couldn't miss. 1960. Another factory to fire destroys yet another Lego factory. 1960. That's three, motherfucker.
You would think at this point this guy would have installed smoke alarms or something.
Yeah, like this kid has been there the whole time. The second generation kid started the first fire.
I think that there's a little bit more.
There's ghosts involved or something, right?
Oh, no. I think somebody's a little bit of a pyro. This is not an accident!
Right? I mean, like... And it, oddly enough, it always happens when the company is ready to build.
Yeah. Seems to happen at these weird...
I'm not saying that because the story doesn't read that way. I'm going to interject my own thing and think that
should
like,
just like bitch slap.
Because every
shit.
Time they're right on the precipice of having enough money to rebuild and make it bigger.
I wonder what kind of insurance claims they have.
Oh, this one is the last drop for the wood toy business. So as
you're my God, here, they're still doing the siege ladders.
Yeah, dude, it's 1960.
Making ladders.
No, Jesus. They're making wood toys. They're still making pulley walkie duck or whatever.
Okay, oh my just God. Move on.
Yeah, so they're done with the fucking wood toys finally. And ditch that shit. We got legalization for the injection molds. Let's just move forward with plastics. They did do some other things other than Lego bricks, though. They did this, like, fish thing that you can find online. Some plastic sailor guy. None of this shit was really popular, but, like, what do you got? A plastic sailor squeaky toy? Is that... I don't know. That's kind of what it looks like.
Well, Saucy Jack.
Is that what it was called?
Saucy Jack, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Saucy Jack.
I don't know if you have that.
You know Saucy Jack.
Oh. Whatever. No, I don't. I know some Jacks that are saucy.
Saucy Jack.
Is that where I put tomato sauce on? No.
He was a sailor on a warship.
Spinal Tap.
Good ship. So anyway.
Saucy Jack.
So by the early 1960s, Legos reached as far as Sweden, Switzerland, the UK, France, Belgium, Germany, and Lebanon.
Wow. Yep.
Lebanon. Like, I get all the Great Britain and attached countries, but, like, Lebanon seems a little weird.
Well, I think Lebanon was a colony at that point.
It's quite possible.
Didn't the British own it or something like that?
Like, again, we've got
let's be realistic. It's the same distance between Oregon and South Dakota.
From
Denmark?
From Denmark to Lebanon is Oregon to South Dakota. Actually, I think those two might be closer. I think it's like actually like Oregon to Wyoming or something.
It's just weird, like Lebanon. Okay, whatever.
But I mean, Lebanon was like a she little vacation spot.
Yeah, great. It really was.
So
if you're in, you gotta realize
killing folks and fighting over religion at that point. Well, they were fighting over religion, but not to the extent they are now.
I mean, you gotta realize, like, if you're sitting there, if you're sitting there in Denmark. What are you going to do? Hey, Olga, let's go swimming in the North Sea. Gee, that doesn't sound too
great
good.
Great expansive beach.
Yeah, or, you know, let's go down to Lebanon and swim with the women with the hairy ass cracks. I don't know. I'd go down to Lebanon myself. Sorry, I guess I'm disgusting.
Hairy ass cracks turn you on.
That's true of him, actually.
Let's face it, like, you know, your Lebanese women, they can be the really hot. They're
Rupert
hot and
just
cold.
Wants a hot girl from 1977.
Pretty much. Sure.
Yeah, kind of.
Trans Am.
1968, Legoland Billund. Billund, Denmark, which is where they originally originated from. Legoland, the first of the theme parks, opened. It attracts over 600,000 visitors in its first year.
Really?
Yeah. Disney, eat your fucking heart out.
Yeah, it's better than the fucking Wizard of Oz one that we talked about, because they got, what, like, 48,000 or something?
That thing's dead.
Whatever it was. But yeah, like,
I'm going to work at a fire drill if they do at this place.
so nothing happens. 1973, however, Lego comes to the United States.
Yep.
Not buying it.
That's the same year I came to the United States.
I'm not buying that.
That's Lego says that. This is from Lego's website.
Yep. Nope.
I can tell because that's all I wrote. Like, I didn't add any shit. Like,
no, I don't believe that because, like, by 1973, I would have been 12, 13 years old.
Yeah,
so playing with Legos now.
No, I played with Legos growing up. Like, when I was a tot, I had Legos.
1973, Legos came to the United States.
Not buying it. You could get them here before that then. Because somehow I had them.
I don't think they had eBay.
They might have been putting on production in the United States at that time.
Well, they may have had some other offshoots that were, like, fake Legos or something available. I don't know, but
I had a big, huge...
Lego's website says 1973.
Don't
That's
believe
what
it.
I got. That's fine. I'm running on Lego's website. That's all I got, man.
So I mean, like, if you go up to, like, people, like, my age...
I ain't, like, time travel to figure this shit out.
If you go up to people my age and say Legos... They're going to know what you mean. You're not going to get this weird blank look. They're going to all have played with them. Everybody in their mid-50s played with them. And for people in their mid-50s to be playing with them, come on. They couldn't have come here in 73. They were here in the 60s.
In 73, somehow. How old were you? 12?
12, 13. Yeah.
You would play with Legos at 12, 13?
I was playing with them way before then. Way before then. I was getting laid at 14. I had a girlfriend. Jesus. I mean, come on. I just don't buy
1973,
it.
1973, they say Lego comes to the U.S.
That's horseshit. They probably lost their records in a fire. Made it up.
Actually, the last fire was the last fire. Like, there hasn't been a big Lego fire since the last one. There were three, however. Like, you would think. You would learn. Yeah. Either way, 1977, Gelled, KJ.
No. Tyler, yes. They were producing Legos.
Yeah,
In the U.S. in 73.
So they were available first...
long before that, but they were now being produced in Enfield, Connecticut.
That's what I get for reading 9 websites at a time.
Yeah. So they were being produced now in the United States.
Those of you motherfuckers who think I follow Wikipedia, like, I have a bunch of websites and I just got it. Okay, good call. So we have a Lego factory in the States in 1973.
Yes.
That makes more sense.
Yep.
That makes more sense. 1977, Kjeld Kirk Christensen, the third generation, joins the management at Lego. 1978, they introduced the Lego minifigure, the castle, and base plates printed with Rhodes. So this is the first castle, which is yellow.
This is like
are the minifigures with the, like, moving arms and, like, grippy hands and the, like, faces.
The advent of Lego Batman.
Yes, it's the very beginning. It's the origin story of, with Lego Batman, which we will get to. Not Batman directly, but a tie-in with Marvel.
Oh, God.
Yeah, well, dude, it's a Lego story. You gotta write it all down. Anyhow, Kjeld gets appointed to president of the company. 1986, Gottfried resigns as company head, and his son takes over all leadership duties. 1994... Kjeld Kirk is knighted Denmark. This is the third of the Christensens to be knighted. All three of them. Only Gottfried and Kjeld have all been knighted in Denmark at this point in time.
Wow, so they somehow were, like, notable in all those other gigantic Danish corporations.
How many industries does Denmark have?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, Lego is one of them. So, yes, Ole, Gottfried, and
Kjeld.
I think you've got Lego
Kjeld
and Scan Design.
Knighted.
And Scan Design closed shop
years
ago.
And Bang & Olufsen.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. So, 1995, Gottfried dies July 13th. July 13th. 2000. Lego sees a budget surplus of 500,000 Danish kroner.
So 10 American dollars.
Well, no, a lot more apparently by what they did with it, because they gave every single employee a bonus, every single one globally.
Yep.
And they hosted a global party for them.
Yep.
Like, all of Lego shut down and partied for a night.
Yeah.
Globally.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
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 Way to run a company. Like, you kept us under cost.
They still do.
Here's some money. Here's a party.
Yeah.
Oh,
the closest business that I can think of that does something like that would be, like, the McMinnman brothers.
I don't know if they still do it, but I've been to those parties. Yeah, where we shut down for a year, and you skeleton crewed, and everybody went, and they just had beer truck. It was literally a truck. yeah.
with taps on the side of it, a refrigerated truck.
I think Starbucks just shut down like a couple of months ago for like racial awareness.
That's not rewarding. Asshole, I see where you're going, but I'm not going to allow that.
That's not rewarding your company for doing something correct. That's giving your company a training session.
Global Lego Party Night.
Speaking of 3D printed guns. Duplo block into the whole mix.
2007, Lego licenses with Lucasfilm, and the Millennium Falcon becomes the largest set to date at somewhere around 5,200 pieces.
Which was actually one of their biggest problems. Star Wars was a huge boon to their business.
It brought them back from to life.
It did,
I think, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Well,
the problem that they
were starting to lose money.
The thing that they didn't understand, however, was that with the introduction of all of like the prequel series, was that these movies were only being reproduced every other year. So they got onto it, and then they had a bunch of stock Legos sitting around for an entire year that they had to discount so horribly that they lost money on it.
What are you saying?
The good news is
I didn't understand.
So Star Wars saved them.
Yeah,
Star Wars saves them
the first year, and then they were like, "Oh God, we got
Let's
a contract with them
this.
Now."
And they did tons of it, and then put out kind of shitty models. They weren't
and
the
then
best.
The next year, there's no movie to support all of the stuff that they're putting
out.
Oh,
I got
Some
you. I got
like,
you.
I don't need another fucking Jar Jar Binks character.
Exactly.
Any figure, and they just moved along.
Oh, please,
and
please.
And that's
people
why
bought those Jar Jar Binks to shoot them with their BB
it,
gun.
It
Damn
turned,
Skippy.
It
yeah.
turned the
In
company,
the Midwest,
though.
Yeah.
But, no, but I think that Millennium Falcon kit was like, when it came out, wasn't it this gigantic, really expensive kit, too?
I'll tell you what, if I...
Because I know to get one now
yeah.
is like... That's like you invested a Bitcoin at 10 cents.
They were a good $150 to $200 when they came.
Which was crazy.
If I showed up with a Millennium Falcon,
but
in Lego,
my first
all three of us would sit in the middle of that living room floor, and we would not podcast that day. We would be putting together that Lego.
Like
okay?
you mentioned, that falling.
All three of us would be school kids.
Tiny pieces. It's like
that's $100 for that thing.
It's $1,200 and it pieces, and it is near $100. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. No. But like to buy that new, brand new when it came out, I bet you that thing was like $100 or something. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It came out new. It came out new. And it was like $100.
I'm not talking the collector value. Like.
Yeah, I'm saying when it came
when
out,
it came out
it was
about
like $100.
Yeah. It's crazy expensive.
It was $100. And it's a bunch of little fucking pieces, and I loved every goddamn minute. So, like, whatever. Anyhow. So,
Ooh,
2000...
Touched a nerve there. Let's not...
Well,
let's
just
not
touch.
I got other stuff to go through.
Toke
so,
the bear, you get burned with a Lego block stepping on it with your heel.
Look what you did. 2006.
I can do a lot more.
I think Buck Rogers in the 25th century.
I want that Lego set.
Buck Rogers in the 25th century. Didn't it have a little Android thing
yes.
that made that sound? It made that sound. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's what that is. What was that thing called, that person?
Twiggy.
Thank you. I don't have to look that up.
And I guess particularly
it was
Twiggy. T-W-E-E-K-E-I. I don't know, but it's Twiggy.
Hi, look.
Yeah, dude, I'm with you. Anyway.
That's what your computer's called now.
That's good.
T-W-I-K-I. Tweaky.
Yeah.
Tweaky.
So,
tweaky. Yeah. Tweaky.
Like, as in I've been up for 5 days.
Hiya, look.
This is how math starts, folks.
2006, Kjeld is the third of his family. Yeah, whatever.
He's awesome.
Just post that to Facebook.
Was there a real person
like,
in that suit?
At least.
This is teeny.
I can't remember if it was a person or a
chimpanzee. I can just like run you off the
you
track
can.
Just by putting a penny down.
Well, you know.
God.
I quit driving at 11:30 today, so we know what happened.
Oh,
then.
Yeah. Hard log story. Uphill
so anyway,
place.
2006, Kjeld is the third of his family to also get inducted to the Toy Industry Hall of Fame in the United States.
Where's the Toy Industry Hall of Fame located?
I don't write that shit down. I thought about that. I was like,
why?
I'm not
why?
Write it down.
Why?
Because I love leaving you with nothing.
John, where did the... I know, you're leaving me limp here, you know? I mean, it's like, John, where's the Toy Industry Hall of Fame located?
It's in small town nowhere America, yo.
Well, I mean, I can tell you where the toy fair of the United States is.
I don't care. It's just I did write that down. I was like, I should start. No, I shouldn't.
Did you know that there's fun? Did you know that there's actually a big building in New York called the Toy Fair of the United States or something?
That does not at all surprise me.
It's in Columbus Circle, and it's this big building, and you can only go in it if you're a trade person. You have to. It's like fucking. It's like Checkpoint Charlie getting into that place.
Holy shit! It's like going to any NASA facility or.
No. But they have the annual Toy Fair there. Or at least they did, but they have the annual toy fair there, and that's what this whole building does. It's just once a year, the annual toy fair, and they exhibit all the new toys, and it's like top secret. It's like, yeah, it's crazy.
Rochester, New York.
Yeah, it's always
Rochester.
It's always in this like ignominious location where you really wonder if being inducted is worth it. I mean, you're gonna have to go to Rochester for God's sakes. Sorry to all our Rochester fans, but it's fucking cold there.
2009, Lego makes a deal with Warner Brothers to start making Lego-based movies. We all saw the thing that happened from that in, like, 2014. 2011, Legoland Florida, the largest Legoland to date, opens up. So, I got a question. Have either of you ever been to a Legoland?
No.
No.
I've been.
Okay.
And...
mansplain it to us.
That's probably what I'm going to end up doing.
That's what you're doing. You're going to start mansplaining it.
You've been doing it forever.
It was a little undercapped when I showed up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was at a point where they weren't making the money they needed to.
So nobody's sweeping the floors? That's how fire breaks out.
Well, I went to one in California, and I'm going to say it was like 07-ish, somewhere in there. Just trying to remember how old my kid was. One of the things I really enjoyed
was... Your child was 7 or you were 7?
My kid was 7.
Okay.
Yeah. I was an adult.
Okay.
And so we went down, and one of the things I did like about it, because it was part of our Southern California trip. Like, you do that, you did the Disneyland, the California Adventure, the dumb Shamu whale jumping, whatever the fuck. You do all that thing, right?
Every now and then you lurch into this perfectly middle America, Robert Young, Norman Rockwell lifestyle.
It's my mother's influence.
It's really weird.
These are not my choices. Like, my mother comes up with
every now and then.
You do realize you do the same thing, right?
Yeah, you
no.
Do.
Yeah, you kind of do.
You have a forced vacation next week. You shut the fuck up. So anyway,
not with my kids.
So anyway, I go down
again. Norman Rockwell.
I gotta say, like, as a Lego builder, I'm fascinated by what they built out of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little underwhelming, but. There was a full-sized Volvo built out of Legos that worked. And a lot of the rides are like, you have to power them yourself. You don't just get on and something goes tick, 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 and drops you to the top and drops you off. It makes it something like you have to participate in. Like, there were these fire wagons where, like, you had to pump up and down to move forward and make the hose go and put out Lego fires in a building because there were some water sensors. Like, it kind of got you into the activity, which I think made it more
fun. It's immersive.
Yeah, it was.
Exactly. It's immersive. And that's one of the things that Lego always did. They wanted their product to be immersive.
Right.
They wanted to build a world.
Get in and fucking play.
Yeah. To this day, the guy that's about to hand over all of...
You know there's beer...
Should I just stop?
Monkey? No, we're fine.
Okay, well, I'm just waiting for you to fucking talk to me.
I'm listening to you.
You're listening to him clink.
I'm wondering if it's like a mixtape for my mouth.
What are you saying, John?
To this day, the current owner of Lego has always believed that immersive play and... have children play and learn and grow.
Right.
That's what everything's about and has been from day one. And he's carried that legacy. It's
he, they. But go ahead.
All of the family has been, let's educate children with play.
Right.
And they continue to do this all the way through the almost 100 years.
And because it's become generational, it's like... Mm-hmm. Parents and children are playing together, doing the same things. It's fucking brilliant. And like I said, it was a certain amount of disrepair when I showed up at the theme park, but it still felt like we're doing this fucking together. And it was like the best team building Tony Robbins shit ever. It's just like you felt good inside. We put the fire out. The other team. Whatever.
I joked about it earlier, but even us middle-aged men, if I brought a Lego set over...
Dude, I almost got him out.
Okay.
Like, I got two bags. Seriously? I almost got him out, but I thought somebody, A, might get injured, and B, we might never leave.
But that would happen. Because this is what we were taught on. We were taught how to be immersive in play. And that's what these things did. How many times did you sit in front of a fireplace with a spool of Legos in front of you in a half circle? Right. And just picking from here and here and here and here and building something, just choosing pieces. And they would either go from like color, like all the colors go over here, or all these type pieces go this way, or this, that, and the other.
You've known me long enough that we built Legos together.
Yes.
You've seen my thing, and it's a full circle with drawstrings on the edge. So you just open it up, and there's a mound of Legos in the middle.
Yep.
And when you want to clean it up, you just pull all the drawstrings, and it becomes a bag.
Yep.
And that's my whole life. Like, here's all the Legos. So...
Mm-hmm.
2013, 5,000 Lego Mr. Gold are released. These are a minifigure. They're gold.
We
color,
didn't even
obviously.
Hit the minifigure, and the
was
way
that
the minifigure changed Lego.
Yeah, that happened around the Warner Brothers thing.
Well, what it did is it brought people into the Lego world, because before that it was just a concept. Now there's interaction within that. Growth. Now there's actual people in there. And when you introduce people into that, it's like, oh, how does this person do with this?
And they started.
Now
they
you have cops and firefighters and knights and.
Middle and value yellow face to actual. Closer to people colors. Yeah. Colors. And it did change. And then you could customize them and all that shit happens. But either way. 5,000 Lego Gold are released. There is a special edition. There are roughly 2,000 of them that are found and claimed because they all have a registration number on them. That means there's 3,000 of these guys in wild still. They go for around $750 United States dollars each.
Well, where do these things pop up?
Apparently in stores. I imagine that a bunch of them that are missing are like people that found one and pulled everything out of them, registered one, and stuck the rest in a fucking vault. Either way, there's like 3,000 of these motherfuckers rolling around out there. They're just a gold.
Do you know that we have a Lego store?
Yeah.
An actual Lego store.
They have Pinewood Derby track.
Less
shit.
Than 1 mile from where we are.
Yeah. I almost went, like, it was 2 weekends ago, they had the Pinewood Derby race.
I'm not allowed to go into that store because I would spend way too much money.
I just, do you serve beer?
The shop next to it does.
All these Mr. Golds are out there. 2014, Lego was known as the world's largest toy manufacturer. They beat moguls like Mattel because they stayed with their one interest. Now, they did falter along the way. I mean, like, they came close to bankruptcy a handful of times, not to mention all the burning down thing. Oh, we still have the Oz stuff.
You still have to wrap it up, dude. We're getting
long. It's going to be long. Don't worry.
We're getting long.
At this point in time, they sell about 7 sets per second. 2016, at this point, Lego is owned by Kjell. But his son, Thomas, also middle name Kirk, like I said, they're all named Kirk, is poised to take over the presidential role soon. And the CEO for a while has been Jorgen. I even found a little slashy through your
Jorgen.
Thing. Jorgen Vig Nudstrup. But is changing hands to the next guy in command. And the CEO is basically tasked with keeping the family on track with the thing. I do have to say that they did survive the third generation, because they're now fourth generation. There's this thing with corporations where the third generation ruins it. The Rockefeller's a perfect example. Like, they ruin the history, and they ruin the industry, and they ruin all the money, and Lego has somehow survived through the third generation.
They brought somebody in to actually help guide the vision. Because all of these guys, they're all built around one thing, which is to play. And you can only play so much. You need somebody who's business-oriented to actually run a business, too. You can't just have passion do it. Passion doesn't make a business. If everybody that had a passion to run a business nowadays had a successful business, ooh, everybody would be, yeah, right?
Yeah, right? It'd be but, fucking Etsy takes over the world, right?
But you need to have somebody that can, you know, leave the person that has the vision in a role and have somebody with a business vision be able to understand that. And then that's what makes things work and grow in today's society.
Agreed. And Lego has done a reasonable job at keeping track of all that shit.
A really good job
so,
of it.
So, I'm going to move on to some oddities. I got about half a page of these because they're fun to talk about.
We didn't even do Lego House.
We're getting there. This is where the oddities are.
We better get fucking quick because
it's fine.
Seriously.
The Lego Ball Mover Competition. It's roughly 20 more minutes if you watch it on YouTube. It is a competition that is sanctioned and has a whole bunch of rules, but it's kind of mesmerizing. But it's basically how long can you build a Lego ball mover thing. So they got these little, like, plastic balls, and they build stair steps and ladders and swirly downs and swirly ups and all this shit. All mechanized Lego thing, and it's like, Gus would love it.
Yeah, the ball, roll-it-down maze thing.
It's
yeah.
crazy, and I watched three of these. Like, I spent a straight hour watching these fucking things. It's something else. The world's largest Lego creation at this point in time is a, quote-unquote, life-sized X-Wing fighter.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, in photos, I think it looks a little bit larger than life. I think it looks a little bit bigger than the one that Yoda brought up out of the swamp, frankly.
No, the tree in the Lego house.
Everything I said the X-Wing is still the biggest one.
The 30-meter tree made out of Legos in the Lego house?
I thought it was the internet! Either way, this thing is big enough for like three people to fit in the cab. It's 5.2 million Lego bricks. And built over a number of months by a team of 30-plus people. It was built to celebrate the release of Force Awakens, of course. Waiting for John's argument. He's got an angry face.
Yeah, I'm pulling pictures right now.
Yeah, well, pull pictures. I heard, like, the tree. Seriously. All I got is the internet to go on. I'm going to move forward. There's a Rubik's Cube-solving robot built out of Lego. It currently holds the world title for fastest solving by human or machine.
That's a human.
I don't know that that's bigger than a Lego X-Wing.
I think the X-Wing is more pieces.
Well, it's like, what are you going by? Like the volume enclosed or the total weight?
That's a 5.5
number of
that's
pieces.
That's 5.5 foot.
Yeah, well, you could fit three people in the cockpit of an X-Wing, which you can't do in the real fucking cinema. So whatever, dude. It's a lot of pieces. Either way. There is a Rubik's Cube solving robot built from Lego and that currently holds the world title for fastest solving...
I don't know, not conclusive.
Of...
Oh, I don't know. That actually... That's...
That's pretty fucking conclusive, isn't it?
I don't know. You know, what are you going by? Total number of pieces? Weight?
I don't know. Measured by bricks. I think it was number of bricks. Either way. Which you can really beat by just using...
Just using the singles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
So, either way. One more time.
Alright, skipping right
Rubik's, along. Rubik's Cube solving puzzle, or robot, built from Lego, that currently holds the world's title for fastest human or machine solving of the Rubik's Cube. It's an algorithmic computer built and funded by Lego, and designed to run on a smartphone. Generally, it's a Galaxy system. It solved the cube in 3.235 seconds. 3.235 seconds. So half of the amount of time it just took me to say that. It's all
only
the
half.
Cube.
That's and more a testament to, like, you know,
robotics.
Galaxy smartphone programming
yeah, but it's
than
built
anything.
From
I mean, come on.
Legos.
Yeah,
maybe.
No, totally. You can see videos. The human record.
They're using Lego robots to serve meals. Okay?
Yeah, well, they are. I mean, the human record for solving a Rubik's Cube is around 7 seconds. And it allows humans to stop and take time on a pause to look at the cube and then start again, which the robot is not allowed that time.
I don't know. You know, I saw a video on YouTube of this Chinese kid who was juggling three Rubik's Cubes and solving them. It was crazy.
I've seen those.
So, yeah, I don't know. Cool. Yeah, I mean, like, when it comes to solving Rubik's Cubes, I take any claim to that
did
with a grain of salt.
Never mind. We'll do this on an episode. Remind me about Go.
Oh, fuck. Shitting, really. So, a guy named Raul...
Kirk.
Oh, fucking Raul Boyana Kirk. And Steve Sammarantino build a functional air-powered car from Lego. It's 500,000 bricks. A handful of non-Lego parts like tires, and the engine is actually built out of Lego. It goes 18 miles per hour. It was crowdfunded. Mm-hmm. The people gave these guys money way over what they were crowdfunding to build this little car. There's cool pictures. And then there's a guy named Sean Kenny. He's a world-renowned Lego artist. He built an installation at a zoo featuring a life-size polar bear, 5 penguins, monkeys, and a number of other endangered species. Life-size. And the zoo got more traffic that day than any other day in their history. All because of the Legos. Why are you grouching?
I'm just waiting for you to be done.
I told you it was going to run a little long. Shut the fuck up, yo.
Well, no. Be done right now. See, they do this thing where it's adult fan of Lego, A-fools. So when the Lego house was built, the very top section of the Lego house is dedicated to A-fools. All those guys that...
The James May Lego house?
Is in there. There are people that are building...
No,
like,
I'm talking about physically the top level of the James May Lego
house. No, the Lego house, Lego house. The one that's 12,000 meters squared was built in building.
Jesus, this is...
Yeah, we just went over the geeky edge.
This is why I deleted Facebook. Right here. Uh-huh. Right here. This is exactly it.
This one.
We are over the geeky edge.
This is...
What?
The Lego house. This is what it really looks like.
No. No. That is not a human...
That uniform. Is what it looks like.
That's so photoshopped.
Yeah. That shit's not real. I'm not buying it. All right, in my wrap-up. I obviously have loved Lego for most of my life. They have changed my world. They've put me in a... Like, they're the only hope I have to understand math. And God bless them, because I still like to play with them. It's still cool. And way to go through all the catastrophes and all the shit and make it up. I really appreciate them.
I love Lego to death. I do. I was always given bricks of Legos and some set at Christmas time and my birthday. And that was how I got to... If I didn't have a toy, I could build a toy. So Transformers. That was really big in my world. And I was poor as hell, but I had a lot of Legos. So if I didn't have that toy, I could build Optimus Prime. I could do that with a Lego set. And that was one of the things that, hey, do you want to build a robot? A Shogun Warrior? Sure, do it. You want to build a car from Mad Max? Do it. You can do all these things. You see it from a movie? Reproduce it. That's what Lego meant to me. It's like, you have all of this available to you. Just do it.
I will argue there's a downside of the modern ones that they just give it to you.
And with the advent of the Lego house, and we're going to have an argument about this here really soon, it reinforces what they've done time and again, which is they wanted kids to be able to play and learn, because learning is part of playing and playing is part of learning. And if you give kids the ability to learn while they play, you'll have better kids. You'll have more intelligent kids. You'll have kids that want to do something other than sell drugs or do whatever. You will have kids that are interested. You'll have kids that are doing good things.
He's got a vision of a street corner sign, drugs for Legos.
Right? Exactly. You know what? What I would love to see is a drugs for Legos giveaway, rather than the guns.
I'll trade my
guns
for cash. Your Legos.
Guns for cash? No, drugs for Legos. You're right.
Dude, I'm setting up a booth on my fucking doorstep.
Right.
We'll trade.
Give me the drugs. I'll give you the Legos. And how many kids would benefit from that? How better would our world be?
All right, so when I got out of Legos, the first thing I made was a bong.
I'll trade you that for Legos.
I had a Lego bong. Yeah, you know, Legos to me, when I was growing up, they were my most important toy. They were, like, my favorite when I was really young, before I discovered, like, slot racing and stuff like that. They were really huge to me. I loved them to death. I think, in terms of the education value of building things and everything, I think it's really there. I actually also, when my kids were growing up, I was very dispirited to find that, like, you could not really buy generic box of Legos. And if you could, the kids didn't want them. They all wanted the dedicated sets where they where you buy the pieces, and it's essentially glorified. It's essentially, like, kind of
super simple snap together
model. It's basically essentially shitty model mm-hmm. building, which I didn't really like, where you buy this box of parts, and it makes the Millennium Falcon, and then your kids built it, and that's it. And I really didn't like that too much, because I was like, you know, why don't we just buy you a Millennium Falcon model and some paints, and then you can get creative
right.
there. You know, I actually thought those things were less creative and less stimulating of that creative center when you had this dedicated model thing. And I especially thought that because, like, in terms of what little kids could access at the time, my little kids were young, the internet was out and everything. But, you know, I mean, it seemed like people were mostly just building those things and calling it good. I didn't feel a lot of, like, you know, taking it off the board and using the Millennium Falcon kit to build, like, the weird, crazy drone thing. And, right. and I didn't see people doing that, developing totally separate things you could do with this kit. And I didn't really see that. Maybe it happened and I missed it, but, like, certainly
well,
my kids...
Well, that has happened. There's a builder's kit you can design online.
But that's, like, all adult yeah. stuff. You know, there wasn't yeah. anything for, like, an 8-year-old kid who's seen Star Wars and wants to build a Millennium Falcon, and, like, boom, they're just channeled into that, and you've stifled a lot of creativity. And I didn't really like it so much. You know, so it was, like, the most important toy to me. Then by the time my kids were grown, I felt it had sort of run its course. And now kids don't use toys anymore at all because
at
it's
all
apps on phones
yeah, phone.
And anime bullshit. And Toys R Us just went bankrupt 6 months ago. So there you go.
So there's one thing I wanted to add. I didn't Google search Lego sex toy, but somebody has to have built one, right?